Jesus Christ came to do for each one of us. The name that is above all names, the name of Jesus, who cleanses us from all of our transgressions and sins. So we invite your Holy Spirit to speak to us once again, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Foot washing, communion, a special time that we take to remember what Jesus Christ did for each one of us. In some churches, they do this once a month. Some churches, like ours, they do it once a quarter. Some churches, every 6 months. Some churches, once a year. But every time we come together, we are reminded of that special event when Jesus gave his life for you and me. There's one more ritual that we practice, and that is the ritual of baptism. And just as a little footnote to today's message, fourth Sabbath of this month, we're having a special baptism. Pastor Jeff will be baptizing, I believe, two and maybe even three of our young people. And they're preparing a very special, special event that Sabbath afternoon that is also going to take in a beach, I believe, in Encinitas. So they'll give us more details about that special Sabbath. But if there's something that communion should remind us also, is that we are part of God's beautiful family. And what a day to celebrate it, right on Mother's Day, or tomorrow's Mother's Day. And if you were in Mexico, when was Mother's Day?
Yesterday.
Diaz de Mayo was in Mexico. And my wife was telling me yesterday, Sam, by the way, my mom and dad are in the area, so they're here Monday through Friday. And she was telling me, Sam, it's Diaz de Mayo. You should say something to your mom. It's Mother's Day. I go, no, it's today's the 9th. It was the 10th. And my mom left. And I didn't tell her anything about Mother's Day. But I told my wife, I said, you know, we're actually celebrating the month of the mother. Yes? Mother's Month. I don't know if that's a word, but Mother's Month. That's what we're celebrating at our house. And they're going to actually be here all of the month of May, both of my parents. And what a privilege to just share with each other and to talk about life and talk about the things that are going on. And just share that time together. I can remember, and for those moms who think Pastor Sam was like, you know, a good kid when he was little, I was pretty good, but very disobedient. Ooh, yes. And my mom did not tolerate disobedience. Yes was yes, no was no. And I can remember coming back from church on a Sabbath, and mom would get everything ready there on the plate, and I was right at the door, and we were talking about this week. And I would watch her as she turned her back to me. I would open the door and go outside. Why? I wanted to be with my friends. I wanted to be outside. And mom was setting up the table so that I could eat. My sister could eat, my dad could eat, we could all have lunch together. But I was more preoccupied with being with my friends and playing. I think I turned my mom's heart several times. I know she was very, very upset. And I can remember coming back home, and my dad's there at home, and I was asking, Mom, where's Mom? And he would tell me, she's out looking for you. She's out looking for you. And you would think this only happened once. No, it happened hundreds, if not thousands of times. Yes, that was me. That part of stay home, would never hear it. I don't know why. I was outside. But just imagine, if that is the love of a mother for her child, she does not give up. She goes out and looks and tries to find him. Can you imagine the love of God? Is God seeking each one of us? Has he been seeking his children from the beginning? He has. And that's the story of communion. Jesus, he gave his life seeking us, inviting us to a relationship with him. And yes, our experiences might be different, but they are very similar in many ways. The pain of loss is something we all experience sooner or later. And yes, I can't imagine a greater loss than a mother's loss of her child. And not just because he went outside to play and then she found her, but mothers who've actually lost their child to sickness, to an accident. And that was the experience that a prophet told Mary she would experience 33 years before it happened. Prophet Simeon was there when Mary and Joseph came with their child to dedicate it, to ask for God's blessing upon this child. And the scripture reading that was read basically tells us that Simeon said, "Mary, a sword will pierce your heart. It will crush it." I don't think she understood what this man was talking about until the day when she was standing in front of that cross and there surrounded with the multitude and surrounded with her sister and Mary Magdalene. She looked up and she saw her son beaten up, hanging on a cross. He must have been thinking, well, what's happening here? What's going on? This doesn't make sense. Why is my son on that cross? And there she understood the words of the prophet Simeon. A sword will pierce your heart. Was there anything that could comfort her at that moment? Any of her relatives just coming up to her and saying, "Mary, it's going to be okay"? I don't think so. Nothing anybody said would comfort her. But I believe the words of Jesus, the words he said to his mother that day, would not only comfort her, but would comfort all those who are broken at heart. You see, Jesus had experienced that. The book of Genesis tells us that when God saw what was going on in this world, he grieved to his heart. His heart was in pain. His heart was crushed to see not only what men and women were doing toward him, but what men and women were doing against each other. His heart was grieved, was pierced. What else could he do to bring them back from their ways? What else could he say to bring them back home? They were just not listening. And it seems that not much has changed, has it? We look at the news, we hear what's going on, and we go, what kind of a world are we living in? A world of many broken hearts. But the words that Jesus would say to his mother bring comfort, bring encouragement. And I would like to invite you to turn with me to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. I'm going to start with verse 25. "Therefore the soldiers did these things, But there were standing by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." No, Jesus was not talking about himself. He was talking about who? John. Woman. Woman. Lift up your face. I know it's hard. But behold your son. The one standing next to you. Verse 27. Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." Yes, I know you two are suffering. Sons and daughters are also pierced at the heart. But lift up your face. Behold the person next to you. See your mother. And the comment that the Gospel of John gives us on these phrases is found right in verse 27. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his household. He took her into his community. He took her into his family. Yes, this was the mother of his master, of his teacher, of his rabbi, of his Lord, Jesus. But more than that, she was family. And I believe, brothers and sisters, that this idea of coming together once a month, once a quarter, half, once a year, is because God knows that it is when we come together as a family, when we come together as a community, pierced hearts, broken hearts are mended. Broken hearts are healed. Broken hearts are transformed. It is when we serve one another that once again there's this like spark. There is a purpose for me being here. It hurts to have lost a father. It hurts to have lost a mother. It hurts to have lost a friend. It hurts to have lost a child. But look around you. They too are family. And God has called each one of us, not just the pastors or the elders, but each one of us to see each other as family. We had a lot of bad news this week. Sad news. But there was a little article that maybe a lot of you didn't notice that came out in several of the newspapers on the internet. And it caught my attention because I've been always interested in cultures and languages and all these things. And two researchers from the University of California, Davis, announced to the world in a journal that from Ireland to Turkey, Europeans are all related, sharing a link with ancestors who were alive just 1,000 years ago. And this according to a new genetic study. Research by scientists in California is further evidence that neat distinction between various European peoples are largely artificial, and that they are all one big family. Even pairs of people as far apart as the UK and Turkey share a chunk of genomic material 20% of the time. The Californian scientist said other research suggests everyone alive in the world today shares a common ancestor from sometime in the past 3,500 years. Doesn't even go all the way back to Adam and Eve or back to Noah. 3,500 years ago, Moses was bringing God's people out of Egypt. It looked like everybody must have been around Egypt during that time. It reminded me of the story of Joseph. Big famine, and there was only food where? Only food in Egypt. Doesn't the Bible tell us that we're all one big family? Moses had told us this 3,500 years ago. We have the same grandparents, Adam and Eve. When we look at the news, it doesn't look that way. Wars and rumors of wars. But Jesus shared that day with his mother, shared that day with his beloved disciples, that we, by the grace of God, not just because our genes, but because of what Jesus Christ did on that cross, we are all one big family. That type of love? Amazing. That type of love? Seen? Yes, in a mother taking care of her child. That type of love. That while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for each one of us. Does that give you hope, brothers and sisters? That gives me hope. And it is as we care for one another that our hearts are what? They're healed. As we share with one another, that our hearts are encouraged. And Jesus said it simply, as we love one another, we give testimony that we are what? His disciples. For God so loved. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called what? Sons, daughters of the Most High. And that is what we celebrate today. Amen? That's what we celebrate. That is our message. A message that we are one in Christ Jesus. So as we participate today, as we wash each other's feet, think about it. You're washing your brother's feet, your sister's feet. Think of it that way. You're participating with family. So nothing to be ashamed of, right? We're family. Because of what Jesus Christ did, we are family. And as we participate of the bread and the wine, and are reminded of the great sacrifice that Jesus Christ did on our behalf. Yes, some of our hearts might be pierced. Some of our hearts might be crushed by events that just happened this month or the past month. But we are reminded by this sacrifice that there's also healing for our pierced hearts. Amen? And if Jesus was there on that cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can we also forgive those who offend us, even when they think they know what they're doing? Can we, brothers and sisters? We can. And you know what? That act of forgiving, even when they have not asked for forgiveness, that brings what? healing. It brings healing to our hearts. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we participate of this very special time, where we remember what Jesus Christ came to do, to serve us as our big brother, even though he was God himself who created the vast universe, he was not ashamed to call himself one with the human race. We thank you for that sacrifice. We thank you for that amazing love. And as we share this time with one another, we invite your Holy Spirit to continue mending our hearts, yes, because they are broken. Yes, because they are hurt. Yes, because we see around us so much pain, and sometimes it's just so overwhelming. But we would like to invite your Holy Spirit, the great Comforter, to come in and to continue the work that it has already begun. We thank you, and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, amen.